Good morning. Let us start in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for this morning that Thou hast called Thy people to the sanctuary to learn of Thy precepts, Thy laws, and Thy requirements of us, that we will learn to apply these lessons in our life. We thank Thee for the lessons in the life of Moses, for they are truly applicable. We pray, Lord, that we have teachable hearts. Cleanse us of all sins and transgressions, that we will listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit within us and do what is necessary to transform our life to that which delights in Thee. Thou wilt surely bless us. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about the golden calf. This is just part one. Next week, we'll go to part two, the final part. So background, at Mount Sinai, God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments and other laws. So you see here, right at the bottom of the map is Mount Sinai. When you look at the red line, it shows the journey of the Israelites from Egypt on the western side, Ramesses and Memphis, all the way to the east, to the southeast, ending at Mount Sinai. Yeah, and that's where God led them to, because God wants to give them the Ten Commandments and other laws at Mount Sinai. And let me recap what happened in Mount Sinai. In Exodus 20, God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments. You can see it up there on the screen. And then followed by Exodus 21, 22, 23, 24, God gave more laws. They are called the Book of the Covenant, meaning daily living. If you steal, what happens? If you damage neighbor's property, what happens? What are the penalties? And so on and so forth. Those laws are under the Book of the Covenant. And then Exodus 25, we learned about the laws of the Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant is where you have this golden box where God's presence is, so that God will speak to Moses from that ark. Then there was also the instructions on the table of the bread of the presence, where they put 12 loaves of the unleavened bread, representing the 12 tripes of the Israelites. Then the lampstand, where they light the lamb in the tabernacle for the priests to carry out their functions. Then chapter 26 and 27, there was just last week, we talked about the tabernacle. It's a tent. And inside the tent, they put all the very holy items, the most holy item being the Ark of the Covenant, where God is found in the Ark. And then chapter 27 is about the altar of the burnt offering. And this altar is found outside the tabernacle, where they make the sin offering, burnt offerings of animals to God. And all these are laws and instructions given to Moses on Mount Sinai for the Israelites. So all these are written in chapter 20 all the way to Exodus 27 are the instructions and laws spoken by God to Moses, and Moses wrote it down on Mount Sinai. Okay? And Exodus 28 are more laws on the priestly garments. God wants the priest to wear a certain kind of clothing for the priest. And so it's very elaborate. Yeah, there are 12 precious stones on the vest, And each stone represents certain things. One tribe. Yeah? So they're really precious stones. Yeah? You read about it in Exodus 28. And in Exodus 29, it's about consecration of the priest, how the priests are to be cleansed and consecrated for God's use. Exodus 30, altar of the incense. Aaron is to light the incense in the morning and light the incense in the evening to keep the tabernacle with a sweet fragrance for the glory of God. And Exodus 21 is craftsmen, Bezalel and Oholiab. These are the two craftsmen appointed by God to carry out the making of all these holy items. So up to chapter 20, up to chapter 31, they are all laws and instructions given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. They haven't started making yet. Yeah? So these are all written down by Moses. Yeah? So I will not go into too much of these from chapter 28 to 31 because they are largely not relevant to us. Like the garments of the priest, consecration of the priest, they no longer apply to us today. Yeah? Altar of the incense and all that. It applied to that period of time. So I will move on to chapter 32. Chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses took a long time coming down, they asked Aaron to build them gods. Yeah? So why did Moses take such a long time? He was up in Mount Sinai. And of course, the answer would be obvious to all of us. He was receiving all that instructions on the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, the priestly garments, and so on and so forth. So it's many days. And Moses was writing down what was God saying, because God instructed him to write down for the teaching of the Israelites to carry out the requirements of God. So he was up there 40 days, 40 nights, up Mount Sinai. And the people were very impatient and very restless. And so, let me move on. So Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights. And the people below wondered if he would ever come back. It's never so long before. Because Moses had always been with the Israelites as they moved down to Mount Sinai, you know. Never been away from the people for so long. So you see, that's Mount Sinai, and the tents are all below Mount Sinai at the foot of the mountain. Moses was somewhere up there, taking instructions from God. Yeah? And the people grew restless, and they came to Aaron and demanded, "We don't know what has happened to Moses. Let us make gods to lead us." Yeah. So let me read to you scripture. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." They went to Aaron. They said to Aaron, "Make gods for us. We don't know what happened to Moses. He went up, never came down. We don't know how long he'll take." See? So they are all weary of waiting and impatient. And because of that, they began to be a bit nervous, distressed. "Our leader is not here. We are left in no place. A place that is unfamiliar to us. We are fearful." We want a god. Aaron, make us a god. Aaron told them to take off the gold earrings the women and children were wearing and give them to him so that they could be melted down to make an idol. So there you go. Huh? They make fire and then they threw all the gold earrings, gold bracelets into the fire to melt it, to make an idol. The gold was melted down and shaped into a golden calf. So you see that picture of a golden calf, and next to the golden calf, Aaron. Of course, Aaron was the one who told them, right? I'm going to use all your gold ornaments and jewelries, melt it down and make a golden calf. Yes. And so that was what it was. Aaron was the leader of the group. He gave in to the people. He did not even resist telling the people, no, I refuse. It is not right. He did not say that. He just went ahead. Yeah? Why did he do that? Surely as a priest, Aaron, number two to Moses, he ought to know better. He wavered. He gave in. Some people say that maybe he was under a lot of pressure from the Israelite people. They wanted an idol. If he's going to oppose them, he's going to get into much trouble. And so he relented and gave in to the Israelites to make a golden calf according to their desire. And the people responded by declaring, these are our gods who brought us up out of Egypt. Let's read verse 4. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They here means the Israelites. The Israelites, when they saw the golden calf, they said, these are our gods who brought us out of Egypt. The golden calf is our God who brought us out of Egypt. So we wonder, have they gone mad? All the while they know it is Almighty God, God of Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now they see a golden calf, they say, that's our God who brought us out of Egypt. Yeah? Very strange and unusual behavior. Tomorrow there will be a festival, declared Aaron. So Aaron is very strange as well. Yeah? All that he has been through with Moses, he saw all the miracles of the 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, and every day they see the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire at night, showing them the direction, and the pillar of fire giving them light at night, being God was with them. And here, they have a different God, the golden calf. And Aaron says, we will have a festival celebrating the golden calf. Early the next day, the people sacrificed burnt offerings, ate, drank, and started a wild, noisy party, worshipping the golden calf. Yeah. So, they've got a new God. The God of golden calf. Meanwhile, Moses, who was still high on Mount Sinai, was instructed by God, go down immediately. The people I brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. So, Moses was still taking notes, instructions from God, and God told him, go down to the campsite. The Israelites have become corrupt. They have made an idol cast in the shape of a calf and are bowing down and offering sacrifices. They are saying, these are our gods who brought us out of Egypt. So God was very angry because they are now, the Israelites are engaging in idol worship. Yeah? What is wrong with idol worship? What is wrong with worshipping the golden calf? What is wrong? It is breaking God's first and second commandment. Thou shalt not have any other gods. First commandment. Second commandment. Thou shalt not bow down to an idol. Within a short period of 1 to 2 months after they heard God's voice telling them, first commandment, second commandment, third commandment, and they responded, they will obey and agree. They revolted. They violated. Right? Yeah? So it wasn't a long time after and they forgot about what they heard from God. It was just 1 to 2 months ago when they received the Ten Commandments from God. Orally, God told them on Mount Sinai and they say they will obey. They heard it with their own ears. And here, they violated the first two commandments. And God was so upset by their disobedience, he told Moses, he wanted to destroy them. Yeah, God was very angry. He wanted to destroy all the 2 million people that he brought out of Egypt. Moses pleaded with God not to destroy the people he had rescued from Egypt. Yeah. Moses told God, look, these are the people you rescued from Egypt. And you promised to make them into a great nation. These are your very words. If you destroy them, you will not be able to carry out your promise. Yeah? And so God relented. God did not destroy the Israelites. Moses took hold of the two stones on which God had engraved his commandments and started walking down the mountain. So let's analyze what we just went through on the scriptural narratives of the golden calf. What is the significance of the idolatry? So we see, first thing, is that there was idolatry of the Israelites. And then because of Israelites' idolatry, God wanted to destroy them. Okay? What is the significance? God repeatedly showed his power and compassion to the Israelites in Egypt, 10 plagues, resulting in the destruction of the firstborn of the Egyptians. Pharaoh gave in, they were released from Egypt, came to Red Sea. They were sandwiched between the Egyptian forces and the Red Sea. From human perspective, sure die. But God saved them by dividing the Red Sea, and they're able to cross on dry land across the Red Sea. And then on, going on, they were in Marah, bitter water, 3 days no water, they were thirsty, they grumbled, they complained. God gave them water, turned the bitter water to sweet water. Went on further, they had spring water and shady palm trees, they rested. In the wilderness of Sinai, God gave them quail meat, manna from heaven, because they were hungry. Rephidim, the stop before Mount Sinai, they were attacked by Amalekites. God saved them from the Amalekites. And God gave them food as well. But all these were soon forgotten. Yeah? And despite God's commandment to them that they should not worship idols, and the Israelites went ahead to make and worship the golden calf. Because after Rephidim, they came to Mount Sinai, God gave them the Ten Commandments. Orally, all of them could hear with their ears what the first commandment thou shalt not have any other gods. Second commandment, thou shalt not bow down to any idols. They could hear with their ears, and they all replied, we obey. So due to the Israelites' stubbornness and rebellion, God wanted to destroy the Israelites. It was only for a short month or so that Moses was at the top of the mountain that the Israelites rebelled against God. So you remember, after giving the Ten Commandments and also the Book of Covenant, Moses was summoned up to the mountain for further instructions. And he was there for 40 days, 40 nights. So not very long, you know, after the giving of the Ten Commandments, 40 days, 40 nights, which is 1 to 2 months. And then the people did this. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. A violation of the first and second commandment. Make us gods. We are going to worship this new God. Violation of the first commandment. Make us. Make an idol for us. Violation of the second commandment. Thou shalt not bow down or worship any idol. Yes? See, first commandment, Exodus 23. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Second commandment, Exodus 24-5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Very clear, the very first two commandments. You can't forget it. And then Aaron, the priest of God, second in command to Moses, led in the making of the golden calf. So, unbelievable, right? You all think. How could a priest, the second in command, who is supposed to be looked up to as a leader and as a holy person, he's a priest of God, no less, he's supposed to be of better conduct of what is desired of the Israelites, or what is sinful and abomination to God. And yet, he is the leader of this rebellion, making the golden calf himself. Not a word of resistance, not a word of objection to the building of the golden calf. After the idol of the golden calf was made, the Israelites said in Exodus 32:4, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. These are the gods of the Israelites who brought us out of Egypt. What happened to all they witnessed? Moses telling them about gods, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who rescued them with the 10 plagues, rescued them across the Red Sea. What happened? Suddenly they said, this golden calf is their gods who rescued them out of the land of Egypt. Terrible, right? How terrible the chosen people of God could be. So let's look at the whole journey of the Israelites. God provided and protected them along the Sinai route. So if you look On the left-hand side of the map, you see God rescued the Israelites out of slavery, out of Memphis, which was part of Egypt, and then they went eastwards to Succoth and Etham. And then they went down to Pi-Hahiroth, which is the place where they were sandwiched between the pursuing Egyptian forces and the Red Sea. They thought they were doomed. No way of escape. They will surely die. But God provided crossing of the Red Sea for them, separating the waters, and they crossed safely. And then they went down to Marah. God turned bitter waters to sweet water. Yeah. And they were quenched of their thirst. And then at Elim, God provided springs and palm trees for rest. And along the wilderness of Sin, God provided manna and quails for food. Yeah? And all the way down to Rephidim, God provided water from the rock and defeated the Amalekites at Rephidim. Finally, in Mount Sinai, God gave them the Ten Commandments. Yet the Israelites were ungrateful to God and turned away to worship the golden calf. And they say, it's the golden calf that brought us out of Egypt. It is the golden calf that rescued us out of Egypt. How ungrateful. How rebellious. I'm sure it couldn't be that they have forgotten. They just don't believe. They don't want to believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are rebellious. They are stubborn. And God said they were stiff-necked people. And that's why God wanted to destroy them altogether. All the goodness they see, they know. Every day they see the pillar of cloud leading them. Every night they see the pillar of fire providing warmth and light. That's God. And yet they say, no. It is the golden calf who rescued us out of Egypt. Very sad, eh? Tragic. And Moses had to intercede for the Israelites. Yeah? God said to Moses, he's going to destroy the Israelites because of their rebellion and corruption. And God interceded. Let me read to you verse 11 and 14. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax so hot against thy people? Why are you so angry with your people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, or to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. What if you kill all your people, destroy all the Israelites, and the Egyptians say, oh, God rescued his people out of Egypt to kill them in the mountains? That would be a mockery. It will be dishonoring to God. God, we all saw you with a mighty hand, miracles and power. You brought your people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, out of slavery and bondage, to kill them in the mountain of Sinai. That's what Moses told God. Yeah? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and says unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Second point, Moses reminded God, you also promised to Abraham that Abraham's descendant will be like the stars in the heaven. They'll multiply many, many times. And if you kill all the Israelites who are all the descendants of Abraham, you are going against your promise to Abraham. So that is the way Moses interceded. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. So God took a different course. God did not destroy his people. So the importance of this Moses' intercession for the Israelites is that God listens to our prayers. God listened to Moses' prayers and took a new position. He did not take the course of destroying the Israelites because Moses interceded for the people. So in the same way, we must remember this important point that God listens to our prayer. Yeah? So what we should do? We have our own golden calves and sins. Love of money, material things. We all know that we need money to survive. We need money for comfort, yes. And we make money. We like more money. It offers security as we go on in our life. So there's really nothing wrong with making money for a living, right? But it is the love of money, where money becomes more important than God. Yeah. And you look up to money as the end point of your desire. Yeah. Sexual immorality, again, is a very common sin. At the click of a laptop button, you get pornography. Yeah. It's very common. Yeah. And it's addictive. Yeah. Pride. Very common as well. We're all proud of what we have achieved in our life, where we are in our career, our social status, our education, how highly we have been educated compared to people who are not as educated as us. So there is pride. Lust of the things of the world, the material things, even a simple handphone. If you are always attracted to the latest model and clamor to get the latest iPhone model, that's a lust. This excessive desire. It comes in many forms. Lust, sexual lust as well. Covetousness. You look, my neighbor's just bought himself a new big car. Wow. So lovely, such a big car. Jealousy. And that you want to get one too. Hatred and unforgiveness, which is also very common. So-and-so just insulted me. I don't like so-and-so because he's so aloof. I spoke to him, he refused to reply to me. So on and so forth. It's very common. Yeah? And there's no way that I can talk to him after what he has done to me. He should apologize to me first before I say anything to him. Yeah. Unforgiveness, hatred, jealousy, gossip. And the list goes on. The golden calf. Man's sinful nature is to violate God's laws. The Israelites committed idolatry when Moses was not supervising them. Similarly, if we are not supervised, we are likely to go astray and sin against God. Is it true? If we are not supervised, we are likely to go astray and sin against God. Are we like the Israelites? Just a matter of 40 days, 40 nights. Moses wasn't around. They wanted a different God for themselves. Well, to guard against straying from the faith, we should keep our quiet time. Quiet time. It's a time when we have close communion with God. Just the two of us. God and I. Nobody else. And we should keep that quiet time precious. Every day. Precious and private. You are before your God and God is with you. What do you have to say to him? Praise him and thank him for his goodness to you. What goodness has he done for me? Just yesterday, I went to see my dentist. It's a very unusual experience because the last few days I've been having constant pain at night, disturbed my sleep. I couldn't sleep. And two days ago, I frantically looked at the polyclinics, check out my friends who are dentists. Not one of them is available. Polyclinics, you have a queue. They'll give you a queue and you see, come in a couple of weeks later. My pain can't wait for a couple of weeks. My friend, overseas conference, can't see you. There was only one person I could reach out to, another friend, and her appointment is like 6 months fully booked. Based on her booking, I have to see her in January 2025. Praise the Lord. She gave me a consultation just yesterday. And the matter was resolved. It was a serious matter. I was on the dental chair for 2 hours. So, yeah. So, praise the Lord. God is good. Yeah? So, we have to maintain fellowship with God. We maintain fellowship with people, believers. Have our quiet time. Stay close to God. Attend worship service. Seek Christian advice. Bible study. Even like Sunday school. We learn from each other about God's, the way God relates to people, his people, what he wants us to do, what he doesn't want us to do, what we should not do, what we should do. We learn together through the reading and the studying of his word based on what happened in the past. It is perfectly applicable to us today. Human nature doesn't change. The Israelites were sinful, rebellious, corrupt. We are sinful, rebellious, corrupt. In a short space of time, if we don't come to church, we have no church, no fellowship, nothing, no quiet time. We are with the world. We will enjoy the things of the world. So what we should do? We should be righteous. Psalm 34:15-20. And who are the righteous? Those who do not lie, do not slander or speak ill of others, do not do evil, do good, seek peace and pursue peace. Psalm 34:12-14. And why should we be righteous? Psalm 34:12-14. You read on the picture. Who is someone who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. If you desire your life, if you want your life, you desire living, and you love good days ahead. And that you want to see good ahead. Keep your tongue from lying. Keep your tongue from speaking evil, slandering, defaming, speaking ill of other people. Don't do it. Don't do evil things. Depart from evil. Do good things. Yeah? Seek peace. Don't be engaged in quarrels, arguments, conflicts. Don't. Seek peace. Pursue it. You will see good days ahead. Yeah? Psalm 34, 12, 14 teaches us what we must do, what we must not do. We have good days ahead of us. The Israelites quickly forgot about God's commandments, goodness, and protection. Similarly, we are likely to quickly forget about God's goodness and protection to us. So we should regularly remind ourselves the occasions God has delivered us from trouble, seek forgiveness, and repent of our sins. Observe daily prayer and reading of the Bible. Yes? Always think about what God has done for us, how God has protected us and delivered us from trouble, and you will remember Him. And He will also remember you. Seek forgiveness, repent of our sins. We have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Be specific about seeking forgiveness. What did you do? Why am I wrong? Forgive me for this sin. I will not do it again. Second, what did I do next? Why was I wrong the second time? Pleading to God for forgiveness for the second time. Third time, why did I do it again? What is wrong with it? Each and specific sin. Plead for forgiveness and repent. Repent means turn away. Never do it again. Yeah. Turn away and never do it again. That's repentance. If you seek forgiveness and you do not repent, meaning that we continue to repeat the sin, then we are waiting for discipline to come from God. And that will be not something we want to experience. It's just the punishment of God to bring us back to the straight and narrow path. So when we have sinned and God is dealing with us for our sin, we must seek forgiveness with a broken spirit and contrite heart. Repent, appeal to God's nature as our loving Heavenly Father, who will always love and forgive His children. So you remember how Moses interceded for the Israelites, prayed, asked God not to kill the Israelites, not to destroy them because of their rebelliousness and their corruption, and their corrupt practice of idolatry. He reminded God, you know, you kill them, the Egyptians will mock at you. You rescued them from Egypt just to kill them in this wilderness. And then what about you who will deliver your promise to Abraham? You kill all Abraham's descendants. You can't deliver the promise of Abraham anymore. His descendants are all dead. So in the same way, when we ask God for forgiveness, we must plead to God for His loving kindness. God, you are always loving. You are our Heavenly Father. We are your children. Please forgive us as our Father. So plead with him the nature of God, who is always loving, forgiving, kind. Just as the same way that we plead with our father or our parents when we were young, when they're going to cane us, we'll cry out, please don't cane us, we'll not do it again. Similar fashion. There must be this brokenness of spirit and that we have learned our lesson and not do it again. Let us close now in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy loving kindness and goodness. You are our loving Heavenly Father and we are Thy children. Thou will always remember us as a sinful, mischievous, unfaithful, wayward. But Thou will always love us, whatever the consequence. And we come to Thee seeking Thy forgiveness for our many sins. For we know that many a times we have engaged in all the things that You have said are wicked and sinful. We are proud, we are hateful of others. We can't forgive people. And we can't love our neighbor as ourselves. And the list goes on. But Thou knowest that we are mortal. We're human. And we are Thy creatures. So we come before Thee seeking Thy forgiveness. And that we will repent. We will put in our effort to love our enemies as ourselves. So help us, Lord, to always delight in Thee, to always seek Thee in our quiet time, in our daily lives, that we will live righteous lives before Thee and see good days ahead. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.